Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. What I'd like to talk about tonight while we wait on our first call is one faith just as good as another? You know, the Bible really speaks of just one faith. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, a famous passage on unity, says, there's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So there's just one faith. But that's really one true faith, because we can look out around us and see many faiths associated with what we think of as Christianity. By faiths, I mean different systems of belief, you might say. For example, you have the Baptist faith and the Methodist faith, Catholic faith, Presbyterian faith, Lutheran faith, Pentecostal faith, Episcopal faith. So what does the Bible mean when it says there's only one faith? That means there's only one true faith. That would be one faith that is acceptable to God, which says, what about all the other faiths if there's only one faith acceptable to God? So if we want to be saved, we're going to have to be following that one true faith. Am I right? Let's talk about some ways that we know that false faiths exist in opposition to that one true faith. Ways that we can know that one faith is not just as good as another. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. Bible question on any Bible topic, 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open. First point, one can be religious and be wrong. We're going to see that in a minute. One can be religious and be wrong. And if that's true, that implies one faith is not just as good as another. The faiths that are wrong are not just as good as the true faiths. Let's think about an Old Testament passage for a moment. Leviticus 10, 1 and 2. It says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Nadab and Abihu, of course, this is Old Testament. They were worshiping God, yes, but they're not worshiping God according to the Old Testament instructions. Is God pleased or displeased? Well, he sent fire down from heaven to devour them. He executed them. God's not pleased. See how you can see from that one can be religious and be wrong? Nadab and Abihu were religious but wrong. How about another Old Testament illustration? 1 Chronicles 13, 7 through 10. You'll remember God had told the Israelites never to touch the Ark of the Covenant with human hand. They were supposed to put four poles through rings on the side of the Ark, and that would provide four handles that they could use to carry the Ark without ever touching the Ark. But here's 1 Chronicles 13, 7 through 10. And they carried the Ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, with singing, with harps, with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came into the threshing floor to Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. Here we have Uzzah. He's probably actually trying to do something to help God. The ark's on this cart carried, pulled by these oxen. The oxen stumble. The cart, it looks like it's going to fall off. The ark's going to fall off the cart. Uzzah reaches up there and touches the ark just long enough to steady it, keep it from falling. It falls, hits the ground. It may break. He's trying to help God, it looks like, but he did something God said not to do. Don't ever touch that ark with human hand. God struck him dead. God was not pleased. He's religious, Uzzah, but he's wrong. How about another passage, this time from the New Testament? Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here are some people that were religious. They called Jesus Lord. They said, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do many wonderful works? They're religious, but they're wrong. Why? Because they weren't doing what the will of the Father said. They're not going to go to heaven, according to verse 21, because they're not doing the will of the Father, which is in heaven. They're all religious, but they're wrong. And if you can be religious, but be wrong, that proves that the wrong faith is not as good as the right faith. One faith is not just as good as another. We see a lot of religious people out there that belong to many different churches, which believe different things. But as we know, 2 + 2 cannot equal 4 and 5 at the same time. All of these religions, churches, faiths teaching different things, they all can't be right. They all can't be right. You can't have them both be right, Baptist and Methodist, if the Methodists say it's okay to sprinkle for baptism and Baptists insist, no, you have to be baptized, immersed. They both can't be right. And if one can be religious and be wrong, as we've demonstrated, then one faith is not just as good as another. The faith that is right, the faith that is actually following the scriptures, the truth of God, John 8:32, is going to be better than the faith that's not right. The faith that's not being faithful to God. The faith that's not standing through the truth. If you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. The number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. The fact that there are warnings against false teachers in the Bible proves that one faith is not just as good as another. If there is such a thing as a false teacher, then one faith is not just as good as another, because the faith that the false teacher is contending for and teaching is not as good as the faith that the preacher preaching the truth is teaching. You see that? Well, let's look at some passages that help us to see that. Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So there's such a thing as a false prophet. Now, the faith that the false prophet is propagating wouldn't be as good as the faith that the true prophet is propagating. So one faith is not just as good as another. How about Matthew 24:11? And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I know that many false prophets by now have already arisen and they're deceiving many. How about 2 Peter 2:1? But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in condemnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. There were false teachers even in that day. And so even in that day, you might could say one faith was not just as good as another, because the faith the false teachers were defending was not as good as the faith that the true teachers were defending. And then lastly on this point, 2 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. As I said, the fact that it's possible to have false prophets proves one faith is not just as good as another, because the faith that the false prophets are teaching would not be as good as the faith that the true prophets are teaching. Now, thinking about these passages we just read, if we allow a false teacher to lead us astray, we'll be saved or lost. Well, they were all clear. You're going to be lost if you allow a false teacher to lead you astray. No doubt about it. Matthew 15:14 says, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. We already read that. So if you let a false teacher lead you astray, you're going to be lost. Now, how would we determine if someone is a false teacher or not? Well, duh, if he's teaching something that's false, he's a false teacher. That's not that hard to understand. And how do we determine if he's teaching something false? By comparing what he says to the Bible. The Bereans are highly complimented for that. It says in Acts 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. So even when you had Paul and Silas preaching in Acts 17, verse 10, it was a good thing for the Bereans to question what they were saying and make sure it matched up with the Bible, because they knew the Bible came from God. But what a man preaches, like myself, Pat Donahue, might not be the truth, only if I prove it by the Bible. So you need to check everything I say, everything your preacher says, everything any Bible teacher says against God's word, to make sure he's proven what he's saying by the Bible. Because if he's not, he's a false teacher. And if a false teacher leads us astray, we're going to be lost just like the false teacher is. One faith is not just as good as another. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. The fact that truth is contrasted with error in the Bible proves that one faith is not just as good as another. Because faiths in error are not as good as the true faith, right? I mean, that's obvious. John 8, 31 and 32. I've already quoted this, or part of it. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have all these people out here, different churches teaching different things. They all claim to be true disciples, but Jesus said, only if you continue in my word are you my disciple, my true disciple. And they can't all be continuing in his word if, in God's word, all these people teaching different things, they can't all be continuing in his word. And he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Talking about being made free from sin. So you're only made free from sin if you follow the truth. Right? And so we have truth contrasted with error in that passage, which proves one faith is not just as good as another, because the faith that's according to the truth is going to be better than the faith that's not according to the truth, that's in error. How about we see the same thing from 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, foolish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be condemned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's a warning against a false teacher. People are going to try to lead you astray. You got to love the truth to avoid it. There's error. Truth contrasted with error in that passage. And if truth is contrasted error with error, that means one faith is not just as good as another, because the faith that teaches error is not going to be as good as the faith that teaches the truth. Same point can be made from 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. We purify our souls in obeying the truth. It's not enough just to believe. You have to obey, and it has to be obeying the truth. That's truth contrasted with error. The faith that teaches error is not as good as the faith that teaches truth. According to that verse, therefore one faith is not just as good as another. It's not true just to say, well, the Baptist faith, the Methodist faith, the Catholic faith, the Episcopal faith, Pentecostal faith, all these different faiths, well, they're all equal. One faith is just as good as another. That's not true. The one that's following the truth is going to be much better, infinitely better, everlastingly better than the faiths that are not teaching the truth. Because the ones who follow the false faiths are going to be in everlasting punishment, Matthew 25:46. And the ones that follow the true faith will be in eternal life, heaven. How about 2 Peter 3:17? Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. See that? Truth contrasted with error. It says the error of the wicked. The faith of the wicked, the faith of the error, is not going to be as good as the faith of the truth. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. As I said, to be a true disciple, we have to continue in Jesus' word. And all these different churches, all these different faiths are teaching different things. Therefore, they're not all continuing in God's word. They're not all following the truth. And only the truth will set us free from sin. False religious teaching won't do it. One faith is not just as good as another. The truth is much better than error. Sincerity alone is not enough. The fact that the Bible teaches that proves that even a sincere faith can be wrong, and therefore one faith is not just as good as another. Sincerity is not necessarily good enough. And Acts 23:1 shows us that Paul, Saul of Tarsus, even when he was a Jew and persecuting Christians, he was sincere, living in all good conscience, according to Acts 23:1. It says, and Saul, Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. He's talking about throughout his past life, even when he was a Jew and persecuting Christians, I was doing what I thought was right, Paul says. But notice he was persecuting Christians according to Acts 9, 1 and 2. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Saul, even while he was a Jew, not a Christian, killing Christians, putting them in prison, he was doing what he thought was right. He was sincere. But he wasn't saved from his sins. When Ananias got to him to preach to him, here's what he told him to do. Acts 22:16. And now why tarriest thou? Or we would say, what you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He still needed to be baptized to get his sins washed away. He was sincere, but sincerity was not good enough. And so even a sincere faith is not as good as a faith that's sincere and right. Johnny from Spokane, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I was just going to ask you what Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 are about.
Jesus said in Revelation 2:9, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, for thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Okay, and then 3:9
says,
3:9 says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Okay? I don't know if I know what all the details of this is.
Is there fake Jews? Is there fake Jews and like real Jews from the tribe of Yehuda? And then there's these fake Jews that aren't really Jews, but say they are?
That's what it looks like. They say they are Jews, but they're not. They're of the synagogue of Satan.
Yeah. So there you have it. Now what?
Yep.
Because America is Ephraim. Kingdom heaven means two Paleo Hebrew words. Israel is not the place.
So
Moses, when he looked out and saw the shining sea, he saw America, kingdom heaven.
Oop! I accidentally dropped Johnny there. Sorry, Johnny. So what we need to worry about is, it's just like we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's turn back and read that. I already read it 10 through 12, and this, I think, will help us understand those two verses. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be condemned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So if we allow somebody to lead us astray, we're going to be lost just like they are. Let me start reading in verse 7 of that chapter. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. We cannot allow ourselves to be led astray by false religious people. That's what we're talking about in Revelation 2 and 3. There are people that today, and under our economy, religious economy, that claim to be Christians, but they're false Christians because one faith is not just as good as another. They're teaching a false faith, and we better not go along with that. Sincerity alone is not good enough. We learned that with Paul. He was sincere while he was persecuting Christians. What he needed to happen, he needed to be believe, repent, Acts 9, and according to Acts 22:16, be baptized to get his sins washed away by the blood of Christ. Even though he was a sincere religious person, sincerity wasn't good enough. So we may have a sincere faith, but it's not as good as the sincere faith that's following the truth. Proverbs 14:12 there says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Sincerity is not good enough. Sincerity is absolutely necessary. You've got to have that. But all by itself is not good enough. We have to be sincere and right. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's got to be according to the truth, God's word. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what it means to worship God in truth according to his word, but it's also got to be in spirit. In the words of Joshua 24:14, since you have to be sincere and follow the truth in sincerity and in truth, you have to be obeying the truth for the right reason. You can't be doing it just to try to impress a girlfriend. You got to be trying to please God. You got to be doing it for the right reason. You got to worship him in spirit and in truth. Sincerity is not good enough because yes, truth, spirit means sincere, but truth means following God's word. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. Romans 1:5 says, for by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. We have to be obedient to the faith. But one faith is not just as good as another faith. If we're obedient to the wrong faith, the one that's not standing for the truth, then that's not going to do us any good. Again, that faith that we need to be obedient to is singular, one faith. It must be obeyed. Think about it. Have we actually obeyed the faith? If the Bible speaks of one faith, and you can be religious and be wrong in the wrong faith, you could be following a false teacher, you're in the wrong faith. Truth is contrasted with error. The faith that teaches error, that's not as good as the faith that's following the truth. Sincerity alone is not good enough. Even if you think you're following the faith, but you're not, but you're sincere, not good enough. You have to obey the gospel. That's what the Bible says. The truth has to be obeyed. Here's 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. God is going to take vengeance with flaming fire. They're going to go to everlasting destruction if they don't know God and obey the gospel. A lot of churches will say, all you got to do is believe in Jesus. All you got to do is know Jesus, believe in him, trust in him. No, this is you got to know him, God, and obey the gospel. You have to obey the faith. You have to obey the truth. And one faith is not just as good as another. If you're obeying the wrong faith, the one that's not teaching the truth, that's not going to do any good. Like, for example, some issues that I bring up as examples, illustrations. What if you're part of faith that allows gay marriage? Can't be saved in that faith. What if you're part of a faith that allows women preachers? Can't be saved in that faith. What if you're part of a faith that's involved in Calvinism? Can't be saved that way. What about you're involved in the faith that sprinkles babies for baptism instead of immersing believers for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. You can't be saved in that faith. One faith is not just as good as another. We need to follow the truth to be set free from sin, John 8:32. We need to continue in Jesus' word to be a true disciple, John 8:31. If you would like to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me, call or text me at 256-682-9753. You can listen to old programs or ask me Bible questions over the internet, like email. If you'll go to BibleCrossfire.com, the website for this program is BibleCrossfire.com. If you'd like a free one-hour phone Bible study with me, Call or text me at 256-682-9753. My cell number is 256-682-9753. Thank you for listening tonight.